It's Thursday, the day we read from your email, and we'll start with a response to yesterday's story about an academic who thinks suburban sprawl has gotten a bad rap. He says sprawl brings millions of people a quality of life that was once reserved for the rich.
Well, Sam Martland of Terre Haute, Indiana, wasn't convinced. He writes, I grew up in a green, safe neighborhood of one- and two-family houses with plenty of parkland nearby. Your guest called those amenities the benefits of sprawl. Well, ours wasn't a sprawling subdivision, but a city neighborhood. We could walk to stores, banks, and the post office. Most new subdivisions today provide only a house and a yard and tie people to their cars, making children dependent on their parents to take them to anything worth doing.
While we're hearing personal stories, Jennifer Ludden's series on legal immigration got quite a few of you typing. Jennifer introduced us to a man named Jatinder, who's here on an H-1B visa. Because of the backlog of government paperwork, he's unable to change jobs.
It is like clipping your wings. You can't fly. I know there are so many engineers come entrepreneurs who really want to get out and start delivering services, but it's like they are leashed to their chairs.
Rob Sanchez of Chandler, Arizona, thought the story was one-sided. He writes, why didn't you spend some time talking to the victims of H-1Bs that have had their careers destroyed because they were replaced with H-1Bs? They are in complete economic despair, many of them losing homes because they can no longer get jobs.
And listener Harrison Pico shares his story. He writes, I am a good but out-of-work software engineer. I was replaced when my entire department was replaced with Indian workers. So I tried to start my own business, selling my services and those of other out-of-work engineers to the government, which keeps telling us there's a shortage of engineers. I never got any work, so I quit and took early Social Security. I now have to live on $1,100 a month. Your reports had no justice for me.
We want to bring you a quick update on a story we mentioned earlier this week. We reported that sprinter Justin Gatlin broke the world record in the 100 meters with a time of 9.76 seconds.
Track and field's governing body now says there was an error, and it's changing Gatlin's time by 1/100th of a second. So now Gatlin will have to share the title of world's fastest man with Asafa Powell of Jamaica. Later this month, both men are scheduled to run the 100 meters at the Prefontaine Classic in Oregon, but unfortunately, not in the same heat.
On a different topic, we got several emails about producer Jim Metzner's story on the songs people learned from their mothers. Everything from this.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine.
To this.
Get back, get on. Get up back, get on. Sing, get on. I can fix my sing, get on.
Sharon Benton of Redmond, Washington writes to thank us for the story. A true gem, she calls it. The gentleman that sang James Brown's Sex Machine was just the greatest thing I've ever heard. Thank you for cracking me up and making me think about the quirky things my mother did for me out of love.
And finally, a note about Michelle's story on the 25th anniversary of the death of Bob Marley.
John Brandon of Iowa City writes to take issue with my statement that Marley was reggae's first international superstar. He writes, I most vigorously contend that the first international star of reggae was none other than the incomparable Jimmy Cliff. Jimmy's many classic reggae compositions include Wonderful World, Beautiful People, Bongo Man, The Harder They Come, and numerous other songs of struggle, triumph, and universal love. Well, we're not opposed to showing Jimmy Cliff a little love, so John Brandon, here you go.
If you've got questions or comments about our program, write to us. Just go to npr.org and click on Contact Us at the top of the page.